You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
I'll give you a short little message here on healing. Everybody say healing. Healing. You know, one thing about me fighting some symptoms here and some issues here in the last few months with my back is healed in Jesus' name. You know, I am healed. It never fazed me as far as what I'm believing. It doesn't faze me as far as the outcome, my future, and what I see in the future. And never has been a doubt in my mind. I'm healed. You know, I've had some pain and had some issues and had to get some steroid shots and things like that. But you know, you don't lose sight of who you are and what the Bible says about you. And you know, the lie is that whatever's going on right now is going to continue and never change. That's a lie. That is a lie. No matter how much it hurts, it will not hurt forever. You believe God, you'll get delivered. You'll get free. And nothing wrong with going through, you know, doctors and getting help, and I encourage that. That's good. But healing is God's will. Healing is what God wants. This is what Jesus bore stripes on his body for. And I don't want Jesus to have borne stripes on his back for me in vain. Are you with me? Amen. So I will fight that tooth and nail whenever that comes up with my family, with me, and, you know, doesn't mean we don't have down days and we get frustrated. Everybody does. But you don't change your confession. Don't change what you're believing. Don't you change it. And it stirred me. In fact, I thought, well, okay, fine. Great. You know, it's just gone on for weeks and weeks. And lying devil, I'm just going to teach on healing. You know, if that doesn't make the devil mad, I don't know what will. So I'll teach on healing standing up here in pain teaching on healing. I will teach on healing and preach on healing. And I have. You know, and I'm getting better. I'm feeling much better. Hallelujah. You know, I still have some residual pain, and I could, you know, do some crazy stuff here and lay on the floor, and y'all have to haul me out of here, but I'm using wisdom. But I am definitely feeling better, and that is the eventual end of faith. When you believe God, the feeling will come. The feeling does not come first. You don't wait till you feel it to say you're healed. You are healed by faith, not by feeling. And so you got to get that straight and convinced of who you are. Healing's a good thing. Amen? You know, we speak in terms of, when you think of health and healing, this is just a self-evident truth. I mean, when you say healing's a good thing. I know theologically sometimes we get that all askew. We twist that and somehow make good look bad and bad look good, and I don't understand that. But everybody with a brain knows that healing's good and sickness is bad. We don't even use terms about sickness that are good, and we don't use terms about healing that's bad. When someone's doing well, okay, fine, that's what we say when they're healed or healthy. When they're sick, we say things like, not well, not good. Hello. Well, they're kind of going down. Are you with me? I mean, no one says, you know, when you're describing pain or sickness or disease or something tragic in someone's life, you don't say they're doing great. You don't say they're doing good. You don't say they're well or fine. You say they've had something terrible happen, something bad happen. When you don't feel good, you don't feel good. This is deep. Are you with me? You don't feel well because good, well, God knows what good is, okay? The commercial, I can't remember what that company is. They know what good is. God knows what good is, okay? And healing is good. And our terminology betrays us, I think, in some cases when we turn around and we try to religiously say, you know, that sickness is somehow a blessing. First of all, God does not say sickness is a blessing. You don't find that in the Bible. God defines it very, very accurately, very succinctly, very simply, and he just says it's a curse, period, pure and simple. It comes from judgment. It comes from sin. It's bad. It's not good, okay? Deuteronomy 28 lists all kinds of good things. In the first 14 verses, it says they're blessings. And then in the 15th verse, all the way to the last of that chapter, it lists all kinds of things such as sickness and disease in great detail. And it says they are curses. Period. So biblical terminology, your terminology and biblical terminology agree. We all agree on this. It's only when we get real spiritual that we tend to get off track. Sometimes we'll say, oh, this is a blessing. Where is that? Where did God say it was a blessing? Well, God's doing something here. Whoa, let's back up here. Let's see what God does do. What does the Bible say he does? And I think that should define for us you know, what truth is. Thank God for the Bible, amen? And consistency in the Bible. Thank God for Jesus, the consummation of the Bible, God in the flesh, who walked the earth and the shores of Galilee and the streets of Capernaum and healed the sick and raised the dead and cast out devils. You know, he stopped storms. We talk about all these storms, acts of God. No, they're not acts of God. That's a part of a broken, fallen world, and it's a terrible thing. It's a tragedy when it happens, when homes are wiped out and people's lives are interrupted like that. Not just interrupted, sometimes devastated. And sometimes people are even killed, and this is a miracle that went through in Dallas that no one was harmed. But the tornadoes themselves were not from God. God did not do that. God is good all the time. Acts 10, if you turn with me to Acts 10, we'll look at a verse. Something you know, you could quote this verse. It's not a real deep verse. I mean, most of you know this verse. But, you know, think about it in light of this concerning the way we talk and speak about sickness and health. It's just amazing to me that we claim that God makes us sick for his glory and uses sickness to teach us and that we should count it as a blessing. You see, God's not confused about this issue. He's not confused about any issue. Biblical terminology agrees with our terminology concerning this matter. I mean, there's no question about this. God does not call sickness a blessing, and he does not call healing a curse or health a curse. Never. You don't see that in the Bible. It's not in the Word. Acts 10:38 is a classic case, and this is talking about Jesus and his ministry. You know this verse. We quote this. It's not going to be a deep message tonight. I just want to keep it simple. Y'all ready? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. In other words, what we're going to read here in this verse is what God did. What God came on him, and he was under the influence, like someone who is inebriated or intoxicated or drinking. We call him under the influence, you know, of the alcohol or whatever. Well, Jesus now is under the influence of the Holy Ghost, under the influence of the anointing. See, you act different when you're under the influence of something. Isn't that true? I mean, you get somebody on the influence, they don't act the same. Because they're influenced by it. And often we even say that. You used to say about alcohol, they called spirits. Isn't that amazing? You know, of course, that'd be the wrong spirits. But see, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you act different too. The Holy Spirit influences you, and it's evident when he's on you because we can see it. We can see things that we identify with him. And so we see how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. Everybody say good.
Good.
I love that. That's good. You know, not deep, not complicated. He just said he went about doing good. Why? Because the Holy Ghost was on him. Because the Lord anointed him. Because God was on him. And when God's on someone, they go do good things. Because God does good things. Anybody goes out and does something bad and say the Lord told them to do that, they're confused. Or they're lying. Are you with me? They're deliberately lying or they're confused. They're a lunatic if they think God told them to go do something bad. God doesn't tell you to do bad things. God doesn't do bad things himself. God is good. There's one good God. That's what Jesus said. And so the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. And so when God's on someone, it's evident, and we see God on Jesus, and it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. And healing. Well, now, let's just connect the dots. Obviously, healing's a good thing, because that's what Jesus did. He went about doing good and healing, right? He didn't go do bad things, so healing can't be a bad thing. Healing must be a good thing. But now here's something that's got to think about. Now let's just think it all the way through here. If Jesus healed someone, they must have been sick. Y'all following with me? You tracking with me here? Okay, all right. So if he healed someone, they were sick. So when he did something good to them, if they were sick, then whatever was going on with them before he got there wasn't good. It wasn't good till he got there, and it wasn't good till they got healed. Or else God wouldn't, it would just be a neutral, passive thing. He just healed them and not good, bad, or indifferent. I mean, they were sick, and we don't know whether that was good, bad, or indifferent. Jesus healed them. He could have left them sick. It doesn't matter. One's good as another. Doesn't matter. But no, the Bible says he went about doing good and healing. So he healed people that weren't doing good till he got there. And whatever he did was good. So healing's good, and sickness must have been bad. But, I mean, he doesn't even stop there. Actually, you can read the rest of the verse and get even more insight. It says he went about doing good and healing all. Good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Woo, there's that old devil. And what does it say about him? It says he oppressed people. And whoever Jesus healed was oppressed by the devil, not by God. Isn't that right? So Jesus didn't heal anybody that God made sick. Well, I mean, you know, if you're going to believe the Bible, okay? Are you out there? You can believe whatever you want to, but if you're going to believe the Bible, I understand there's a lot of arguments, and I wouldn't argue with that. That's fine. I believe the Bible, okay? And if you want to believe the Bible, then you're going to love this. This is good. You can track with me. We can get along here together and move together, because I'm just going to preach to you what the Bible says. Now, I know there's other things I could preach, but I'm just going to preach the Bible, okay? And according to the Bible, I mean, I could philosophize here, and I can give you a lot of reasons why God may want to make you sick and how it might bring you to Him, and we could come up with 1,000 reasons, but if we're just going to use the Bible, then we're going to have to throw all that out. And we're going to have to say that sickness is not from God, if we're going to believe the Bible. And we're going to have to say that Jesus healed people that were oppressed of the devil. Wow. And, you know, and actually, if you take it apart even further and you think about it this way, people that are sick are oppressed. That's not a good word. I mean, that terminology is not great, is it? They're not blessed. They're oppressed. Well, I just make a statement, I'm too blessed to be oppressed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. Amen? Okay, so healing is a good thing. That's what we're talking about. And we know that because God has said that in His Word. You know, I love that. I mean, if you want a dictionary to define terms, I think the Bible's the best one you can find. If you would get your definitions from the Word and from God's Word, in light of God and what He says, it may change the way you think, but it'll change it for the better. And not only for the better, it'll make you think more accurately and concisely and truthfully. Because truthfully, what's wrong with the world is what God says is wrong with the world. What's going to fix the world is what God says is going to fix the world. What you and I should do is what God says we should do. Not what everybody else says, but what God says. And we need to find out what He says. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, Hosea 4:6 says. Jesus said, if you are my disciples, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and then you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I love that. And I think we've been bound up a lot of times with the wrong ideas, little cobwebs in our head. You know, sometimes get stuck in there from well-meaning people, even from being in church sometimes, hearing the wrong thing. Thank God for churches. From the world's terminology, what they say about God, how they talk about God. You know, Dick Bradley and I were talking the other day, and it's so obvious. If you want to learn something about church history or Jesus or biblical things, don't watch the Discovery Channel. They're always wrong. They'll find some liberal rabbi, some liberal priest, some liberal pastor that doesn't even believe in the resurrection or the virgin birth of Jesus, and they'll be the authority on the show, and they will just tell you every upside down the other how God didn't do what He said He did and what happened in the Bible didn't really happen, and they'll do a whole hour on the Discovery Channel or History Channel. And if you want to learn about Jesus, get in the Bible, okay? That's where you're going to find out about Jesus. And let the Bible speak for itself. And if you want to get around people that are intelligent, you know, that have degrees, there are those people that way. But find someone who believes in Jesus with those kind of degrees. Find someone, and they're out there. That's the thing. I don't know why they don't ever quote them or get them on their programs. They always want to get the guy or the lady that has doesn't even believe in the resurrection of Jesus or the virgin birth. And there's lots of people in academia, in the world of intelligentsia, that believes in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the virgin birth and that Jesus was God. Get in the Word, amen? Here's what the Word says, pure and simple. I mean, this we could have a camp meeting on this verse, but I want to get to some more. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And it was evident. You could see the influence of God. You could see the mark of God upon what Jesus did. Jesus didn't turn pumpkins into coaches, and he didn't turn mice into coachmen. These are not fairy tales. When he touched someone and a miracle would take place, the mark of the Creator would be upon it. He'd touch a leg that was crippled and it would walk, because that's what legs do. That's what God made legs to do. He'd touch a blind man, his eyes would pop open and he'd see, just like our eyes see, because the Creator, the maker of all that is, made our eyes to see with, and he made our legs to walk with, and he made our ears to hear with. And so when Jesus would touch someone and he'd reach out and heal someone, it wasn't some kind of intrusion or interruption or something strange or weird. It was something that restored order, that put things back in place. Everything Jesus did, miracles, healings, signs, wonders, biblically speaking, restore things. They have the mark, the scent of the Creator on them. We see how God was with Jesus. God made ears, and he opened them up. Oh, that's God. God made eyes, and he opened them up. That's God. But God made legs, and the cripples walked when Jesus touched them. That's what legs were made to do. We see God. Are you with me? Now, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. If you want to know what's strange, if you want to know what has interrupted and intruded, you don't know what's alien, if you want to know what is wrong that needs to be made right, it is sickness. Sickness is the intruder. It was never intended by God. Legs weren't made to be crippled. Eyes weren't made to be blind. Ears weren't made to be deaf. And sickness comes and it takes away what God intended, what God's will is. God's will is healing. His will is health. And what sickness does, it destroys God's will. It fights God's, it attacks God's will. It tries to mar God's creation. Now, that's not strange what I'm saying here. We know that better than we think we do. We are smarter than we think we are. Because we have spent billions and do to this day, and rightly so, to help people get their eyes fixed and their ears fixed and their heart fixed. I'm amazed when you go to a hospital and you see someone that's all hooked up with all kinds of tubes and wires and everything else, and they got them monitored every way that you could imagine. I mean, you're sitting there and you got machines here and you got machines here, and they're monitoring blood pressure and they're monitoring blood sugar and they're monitoring oxygen. They got everything in the world monitored. Why? Because we want to fix all this. We want to get it right. Because this blood pressure should be this. This oxygen should be like this. Are you with me? Their blood sugar, their blood, their heart rate should be like this. And I mean, they're going through everything trying to fix it and make it right. And when they do, they'll say, oh, that looks good. That looks good. Oh, that's good. That's coming up. I like that. That's good. That's getting better. I like that. I like that. Oh, we got to do something about this. It's not good here. Why is it not good? Because it's not where it's supposed to be. Are you with me? We know what good is, don't we? God sure knows what good is. Healing is good. That's why we have so many doctors and nurses and hospitals. That's why we honor those professions. That's why we thank those men and women that give their lives and devote themselves to helping humanity, suffering, dying humanity. That's why families are so touched by their loved ones getting better and so thankful to those that were involved. And we honor people that help people and rescue people and firefighters and policemen and, you know, and rightly so. Rightly so. Because we know what good is. Sickness is not a blessing. No, it's not for God's glory. No. Don't go there. Don't go there. Not biblically. Let's don't go there biblically. Amen? You know, I remember, and if you write notes, you might want to put this scripture down in Acts the 4th chapter. Don't turn to it, because y'all took up all my time moving in the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's never taking time when it's the Spirit of God moving. But you know, when in Acts 4 chapter, I'm going to give you Acts 4:9 if you want to write a note. But Acts the third chapter, y'all know the case where Peter and John went to pray, and they met this lame man. You know the song, Peter and John went to pray. They met a lame man on the way. He stuck out his palms and asked for an alms. And this is what Peter did say. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he went walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God. Y'all remember that song? Okay. Okay. Yeah, anybody remember that song? Oh, come on now. Has nobody, y'all ain't heard that song? Okay. All right, well, you just did. It probably was a little better than that, but anyway, it's... Okay, that's what happened. They went to the gate, beautiful. The man was there asking for alms, and he asked for alms and got legs. You know, that's what I always like to say. Just want to see if you're out there. Alms, gifts to the poor. And it's significant because really the song is pretty much what the Scripture says exactly. It says, you know, he stuck out his... held his hand, he said, that's wrong. Peter and John said, silver and gold have I none, such as I have given thee in the name of Jesus Christ, and now rise and walk. And he took him by the right hand, and the Bible says he leaped and walked and praised God, and they went to Solomon's porch and nearby gathered around, greatly wondering what had happened to him. And it's a miracle that took place. Okay. Well, in the fourth chapter, the Pharisees and Sadducees, they're sad because they didn't believe in the resurrection. They're sad, you see. The Sadducees and the Pharisees abducted Peter and John. They didn't like what was going on with the church. They crucified Jesus, killed Jesus. They buried him, they thought, but they only planted him. And when you plant something, it comes back up. And so Jesus came back up, and he didn't just come back up, but all these others came back up. They thought they solved the Jesus problem, and all Jesus did was multiply himself and all these new creatures in Christ after the resurrection. Peter and James and John, and man, the miracles Jesus did started multiplying. Thousands started getting saved. And I mean, they have got this problem, this massive problem, these Jews, the Pharisees and Sadducees. So they abduct Peter and John quietly because they don't want the people upset because the people like them. 3,000 people got saved at one time, 5,000 another time, just from them preaching. And so they silently, quietly abduct them, put them in their council and says, what in the world are you doing? Healing this man. It amazes me. They did the same thing with Jesus. You know, they get on him for healing somebody. Oh, I tell you, you can stir up some religious people when you talk about healing, miracle, signs, and wonders. Oh, listen, you start speaking in tongues and you really get them on your side. I mean, you know, it's amazing. I'm thinking, what is the problem here? It's in the Bible. We're just doing what the Bible says. We don't hate anybody. But, I mean, they almost write you off and call you of the devil and everything else. You're preaching Jesus, laying hands on people to be healed. But they gave Jesus the same trouble. They gave the disciples the same trouble. And they'll give you the same trouble. I don't think the world has a problem you getting people healed. The religious crowd does. The world wants to get healed. The religious crowd is the one that persecuted the church. Well, they asked him what's going on here, and this is an amazing thing. Just one verse here, part of a verse here. Acts 4, verse 9, if you're writing notes, he says, Peter rises up and he says, if we be examined today about this good deed done to this crippled or this impotent man, if we be examined today about this good deed done to this crippled man, this impotent man. Of course, this whole message you go on, I don't want to go any further with that because I'll start preaching something else. But anyway, what did he call that? A good deed done. Isn't that what he called it? What's he talking about? He's talking about healing that man that was crippled, the gate beautiful, when he stuck out his alms, his palms and asked for alms. Or whatever he did. Peter and John healed him. And he said, that was a good deed. I love that. Isn't that great? I mean, Peter and John weren't confused about this. Healing's a good thing. What we did to that man was a good deed. Now, when you go do a good deed, think about that. You're helping somebody, isn't that right? I mean, somebody needs a yard mowed and you go mow it. You know, that's a good deed, isn't it? Because the yard not being mowed is not good. So you did something good, you mowed the yard. You helped some little lady, work on her house or whatever, that she didn't have the means, the wherewithal to do that. Maybe she's single or widow, whatever, and you go help her. And you know what we call that? A good deed. Because it's just not right, is it? It's not right it's not right that that's messed up and they're not able to do that. We ought to help them. We ought to go do some good. Because there's something wrong and we fix it. That's called a good deed. Do that all the time. Do it all day long. We do it every week. Well, hopefully we help people and do good deeds. Well, healing is a good deed. Because it's just not right someone's sick. It's not right they're sick. Hello. I'll do everything we can to get people well. Amen? Sickness is bad. Healing's good. That's what God calls it. That's what Peter called it. That's what it says about Jesus, said it was a good deed. Turn to Mark 3rd chapter. Let's wrap this up. My goodness, time's flying by. Wow. Mark the 3rd chapter. I'm reading out the New King James Version here. Notice what it says in the first verse. It says, He, Jesus, Mark 3, verse 1, He, Jesus, entered the synagogue again, and a man was there that had a withered hand. If you can imagine a hand just withered up. You know, he had a normal hand, he had a withered hand. Notice I can't even talk without using those terms. This would be a normal hand. This wouldn't be normal, would it? See, we know that. We know. So we use terms about these things that all of a sudden we just throw out, we throw away and we start getting spiritual. Someone's got some problem, we say, well, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. No, it's not. It's a curse. You know, it aggravates me so, I try to be nice, and especially, you know, when someone loses someone, you know, I've heard preachers put their arm around them and says, well, you know, God's got a plan and a purpose here, and this is really a good thing. And I'm thinking, my God, there's nothing good about this at all. It's not good. The only good thing about this is we know they're in heaven and we're going to see them again, but this is not good. Death's not good, and that person's hurting. They're in pain, and you can't make it good. And you can't make it. See, that's where you go crazy. You go nuts trying to figure that stuff out because it doesn't make sense. Well, if I could just figure out what God's doing. God didn't do anything, okay? We're in a broken, fallen world. People die, and it's bad. I don't like people dying. And God doesn't either. But we can comfort people. We can pray that God gives them peace. We can give them hope that they'll see the person again. But the death's not good. Don't make something bad good. Hello. And I understand they're just trying to help. And we all do. We got these little religious sayings we say. But we need to examine that. We need to, you know, if you want to help, put your arm around and pray for them. If you want to help them, tell them God will give them peace. I'm praying for you. You know, and don't ever tell them you know what they're going through because you don't. You can say, I don't have a clue what you're going through. I can't imagine. But I want you to know I'm praying for you. And I know God can give you strength and He can give you help and He can give you hope and He can comfort you. And that is what I'm believing at this time right now, that God will help you and He'll comfort you. And if the person is a Christian that went on, you could say, you know what? Thank God they're in heaven. Let's hold on to that. But don't tell them this is good. Don't do that. No. That just confuses people. I'm confused enough without all that. Okay? Are you with me? I'm not being mean, not being hard. I really want to help someone. I want to help someone. I don't think you're helping people by doing that. We just repeat it, and I don't think people probably goes in one ear out the other. And that's the whole point. It's meaningless. It doesn't mean a thing. If you're in pain, you just lost someone, it's not good. And no amount of people telling you that's going to make it good. But there is help and there is hope, and that's what we should go for. Y'all hear what I'm saying. Y'all understand where I'm coming from. See, we need to define things biblically. Death's bad, life's good. Okay? There is this good that this person's in heaven, and we hold on to that. That's good. Let's get some hope there. Let's hold on to that. That'll help us because we'll get to see them again. Praise God, there's some hope there. But this is not God doing something to us. This tragedy is not something God cooked up. It's not something that in His master plan is going to make us better people. God had a master plan to make us a better people. It's called Jesus. He sent Jesus to make us better, okay? He sent Jesus to heal us. He sent Jesus to forgive us. He sent Jesus to follow and pattern our life after. He didn't send all that junk to make us better. You didn't have a bad day to make you a better person. God didn't do that. Bad's bad, good's good, and God is good. Amen. Mark 3:1 says, and he entered the synagogue again, and a man there had a withered hand. And they watched him closely, these religious people, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, that they might accuse him. They didn't care about this man. They didn't want him healed. In fact, They almost wanted him healed so they could get on Jesus' case. But you think they cared about that man? You would think they would be jumping and shouting and rejoicing and telling the whole town, hey, we had a miracle. But no, they were angry, they were mad, they were watching Jesus just to see if he'd heal this man. Real compassion. This is real love. Well, that's what religion is. See, that's not what Jesus is. Jesus is compassion. Jesus is love. Jesus does care. These religious people didn't. They watched him to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath so they could accuse him. Third verse, and he said to the man who had the withered hand, step forward. Oh, you better look out. Jesus fixing to heal this man. I can see it coming. I already know it. I've seen Jesus do it too many times. If I didn't know the rest of this story, if I had never read the rest of this story, I'd already know he's going to heal this man. That's what Jesus does. That's what he does. He does it every time he runs across somebody sick. Everybody ever comes up to Jesus gets healed. And here's another one. Here we go again. Watch it. He's fixing to heal somebody. I can tell already. And I know that because I know Jesus. That's what Jesus does. Does it every time. Oh, Lord, here we go. Another healing's going to happen. I can see it building already. It's already happening. Yeah, it's already happening. Religious crowd doesn't like it. Jesus is going to heal them. Oh, my. Showdown. And Jesus is faster to the draw than they are, that's for sure. Step forward. Fourth verse. Then he said to them, is it lawful, legal, on the Sabbath, to do good or do evil? To save life or to kill? You saying it's not lawful to do good? Because he knew their heart. See, you don't think I ought to heal this because that's work, and we don't work on the Sabbath. So it's illegal for me to do a good thing. It's illegal for me to save a life on Sabbath. What do you call healing this man? Good. It's a good thing. This is a good thing. And let me tell you something. God does good things. That's what God does. And church should be a place where good things happen. Should be a place where healings take place. People get filled with the Holy Ghost. People get healed. People get saved. People get forgiven. People get their lives back together. People get hope. They get joy, and they get purpose, and they get charged, they get challenged, they get changed. Good things happen in church because God does good things. And listen, church days, when we have church, that's when good things happen. And healing's a good thing. We ought to heal people. We ought to lay hands on people, get healed in church. Amen? So he says, well, is it right or legal to do good or to do evil? Is it right to save life or to kill? And they kept silent. He could silence anybody. I mean, Jesus knew how to do it. And when he looked around at them with anger, well, I guess so. These are supposed to be his people. These are supposed to be his representatives. These are the leaders and the messengers, the prophets and the apostles and the priests and the pastors. And they're not letting people get healed. They're doing everything they can to keep them from getting healed. They're purposely not believing for them to be healed on Sundays or Saturdays in this case. And they were the people that should be doing it. Sometimes God's own people keep us from getting what God wants us to have. And I know I'm pro-church. I'm for church. It's not an indictment on church. But I don't want to be those people. I don't want to be a religious person that keeps people from Jesus instead of bringing people to Jesus and keeps people from believing God for a miracle by giving them all kinds of platitudes and philosophies and arguments and reasons why they can't be healed when the Bible says they can be healed. And when Jesus is a healer, I ought to get them to Jesus. And I ought to encourage them to believe and stand in faith with them and pray with them and believe with them. I'm his representative. You're his representative. Well, he looked on them with anger for the hardness of their hearts. And he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole like the other. Restored. That's a good word. I like that. Everybody say restored.
Restored.
Because what happened with that hand, it got fixed. It wasn't right. The hand wasn't right. As we say in East Texas, that ain't right. That just wasn't right. But see, he made it right. He made it right. And what did he do to it? Something weird? No, he restored it like the other one, the normal one. All healing does is make you normal. mean, that guy walking around Peter and John in Acts 4th chapter. I mean, everybody's walking around on their legs. He wasn't the only one walking around on his legs. In fact, they ran to the porch, you know, Solomon's porch when he got healed to see what happened, and they ran on their legs to get there. What's so abnormal about running on your legs? Nothing. Nothing at all was abnormal. I tell you what was abnormal was him being crippled at the gate. He got normal when he got healed. Healing makes you normal. Because healing's good. And healing this man was a good thing. Well, let's just watch our terminology. I mean, we'll go on and time does not permit here, but if you just go through the Scripture and let the Scripture define for you what good is and what bad is, you'll find that healing's good and sickness is bad and depression's bad and peace is good and life is good and death is bad and sin is bad and living holy is good. And don't be confused. Don't be confused. And let's don't confuse anybody. Amen? Let's let the Bible speak for itself. In fact, I think about often, you know, in Isaiah, the 5th chapter, 20th verse, it says, "Woe be unto those that call evil good and good evil, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." That means you'd call something like healing or a miracle, "Ooh, that's bad stuff. That's the devil there." Well, I don't know. The devil never healed in the Bible. Jesus was not competing with the devil when he was raising dead and casting out devils. He actually was healing those that were oppressed of the devil. God is the one who heals. Amen.